Hi, everybody. I've missed you. Missed you a lot. Took a little vacation to Alaska, and it was a good place to be. I'll talk about that more in just a moment. I'd like to mention a couple of things before I get started with my talk. Molly, where'd you head off to? Right here. Yeah. I'm so excited about the class that you and Jennifer are doing, and I just wanted to mention that Unity Worldwide Headquarters has put out this little booklet called Grief is a Spiritual Practice. And you will find an article by Molly in this publication. So I'd like to acknowledge that, Molly, that that you've been published in this, and we'll be ordering some of these for the bookstore. So look for that to come in. I feel like I've got so much built up to talk to you about that I'm going to fire hose you today. So get ready for the fire hose of truth. Today's talk is called A Choice for the Future. And I bet you think it's going to be about environmental issues. And you would be right by one-third. I am going to talk about that a little bit. But A Choice for the Future is about what we contribute to the Earth and what we contribute to the energy of the whole planet, including each other. I was reminded of that on this trip to Alaska. We were in Southeast Alaska. We weren't in Polar Bear, Alaska. So we were down in this amazing temperate rainforest that is one of the most astonishing, amazing, extraordinary environments and ecosystems on the entire planet. Just ask David Attenborough. That was a little joke. If you watch National Geographic or the History Channel, you're going to get David Attenborough talking to you in a beautiful British accent. About the wonders of this planet. And I have been to that part of the world before, but something touched me this time like it never has before. And I suddenly was overwhelmed with something I already know to be true, which is that we are a vital part of the whole. We are responsible for each other and for the planet. And that was driven home in a way that I can't even begin to explain to you. But I will try. Besides being a temperate rainforest, which you don't usually associate with Alaska, it's also a great intertidal zone in which the ocean tides will rise vertically from 14 to 20 feet. So that, for example, a rocky shore that we walked on in the morning, by the afternoon, was no longer visible. Most of the island we were on was no longer visible. It is a place of the richest plankton bloom, which in turn feeds herring, which in turn feeds birds and sea lions and whales. It is a rampant, lush life in new-growth rainforests after the big logging industry of the last 150 to 200 years. And the tribal people, we were mostly engaged with the Tlingit people of Southeast Alaska, although there are many tribes there. We were able to participate in one of their lodge houses, singing and dancing with them. We were on a small ship cruise, so there were only 52 passengers, and so we had a very intimate experience that we wouldn't have had otherwise, and we're able to get into places where we wouldn't have otherwise. So, first of all, my choice for my future, personally, by Birdie, my choice was to extend beyond my personal physical limitations in a way that I have not done since I had cancer, in a way that I didn't think I could. because I was afraid I would injure myself. I've been protective of my own body. And I love to sea kayak, and I haven't done it in 14 years. And I kayaked with a mighty stroke. I was like, oh, I have kayaked. Yes. And I went snorkeling in 52-degree water with a really, really thick wetsuit on. So I was like a cork. I couldn't have dived down to, couldn't have gotten below the surface if I'd wanted to. I would try, and I just bounced back up again. I went bushwhacking in that lush, lush rainforest. And just to give you an example of what it was like, we traveled by GPS 1.1 miles through the rainforest. It took us 3.5 hours. So we were over and under logs on our hands and knees, climbing on logs. Oh, I fell down lots of times. But it's mossy, so it was a really nice landing every single time. So, you know, we had on our rain boots and we were sloshing through the bog, and it was amazing. I kissed a banana slug. Yes, on purpose. It's kind of a dare. Yeah, I know. I want y'all to admire me a whole lot for doing that. As I was snorkeling, I held in my hand a little clamshell that had a tiny sea mollusk in it called a chiton or chiton, depending on which way you, if you want to go with the Greek pronunciation or the Latin. And this little creature is a mollusk that has a fossil record of 400 million years. I held one of those living things in my hand. And I was connected to, in my mind, all time. 400 million years these creatures have been on the earth. You know, I live with a couple of millennials. Occasionally they live with me, I should say. And so I see a lot of their friends as well. You know, our millennials are worried about their future. You know, I was worried about my future because of communism. And kids these days are more worried about our climate than they are about terrorism. And so I hear about this from them. And one of my kids, my sons, was talking to our guide and said, We're killing the earth. And she said, no, we may be killing the earth for humans, but we're not killing the earth. It'll survive with or without us. Just tuck that in your brain. This isn't political. This isn't a political issue. This is a personal responsibility issue. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here because so many of you are environmentally conscious. And I know that you are recycle, reuse, repurpose people. I know that that's true about you. If you're not doing that already, I can say this to you. If you want a benchmark, if you want a task, make sure that your recycling is always bigger than your trash. If your trash bin is full and you've got a little recycle-like box, you got it backwards. So you can start there. I know many of you compost so that it uses the resources of the earth that we have exhausted, and it replenishes them, that it might nurture animals, that it might nurture our plants. As a matter of fact, I am so sure about who we are as a people that I would like to share something that came in just this week. Xander, I know we didn't plan this, but why don't you come up here with me for a moment, would you please? Because you and Sherry helped me write this talk today. Dear Unity of Wimberley, the Unity Earth Care team is honored to present you with this beautiful certificate. May its arrival stimulate a spirit-centered celebration. May it, too, call you to an even deeper connection between your prayer time and your co-creating a more spiritually integrative community and planet. And so it is. Amen. Respectful blessings. The Unity Earth Care team. The Earth Care Covenant Certificate of Achievement Level A. This is to acknowledge that Unity of Wimberley, 455 White Wings Road, for those of you who have not visited us yet, this is where we are, in Wimberley, Texas, has created a conscious awareness of our oneness with creation and made care for the earth a significant component of its ministries. Because of this, the truth that God is everywhere present in creation is alive in the minds and hearts of its congregation and has been translated into their daily actions. We honor Unity of Wimberley for its vision of earth care and its commitment to walk upon the earth for the greatest good of all creation. Approved this day, the 1st of July, 2019. How about that, my friends? Incredible. And the reason that Xander's up here is because he read up on this, and he has done everything that needed to be done for us to be in compliance with this first step. And the vision of this is that all humanity lives in a spiritual consciousness that manifests as loving coexistence with all creation and care for our earth home. Its mission is to foster awareness of spiritual oneness with the earth and to promote active care of all creation. The Earth Care Program assists ministries in integrating an earth-oriented spirituality into their faith community. Earth Care helps each congregation discover what Spirit calls them to do to care for our earth home. Xander, I'd like to personally, and on behalf of this congregation, acknowledge you and honor you for taking that step toward our higher good, toward the higher good of the earth, on this sacred ground on which we worship, on which we celebrate, on which we gather with each other. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Thank you. I don't want to wrinkle it. So whatever you are called to do to make the earth a better place, do that thing. One small change can make a difference. Carpooling with somebody. I haven't quite pushed on Bill yet to trade in his car for all electric, but I'm working on it. I had the opportunity, we spent about 3 hours one evening anchored because we couldn't go anywhere on the ship. We couldn't go out into the water that we needed to travel in because for about 3 hours or more, there was a pod of 30 to 40 humpback whales feeding around us. And they were feeding all evening. So multiply 30 or 40 whales by however many times they surface. And I'll tell you what, yeah, wow. What it sounded like, we couldn't figure out how many places to look. Bill went to our cabin and had his camera phone looking out the window, and a mother and a calf surfaced right outside his window, and he almost dropped his phone in the ocean. And he captured the beautiful markings of a humpback just as it sailed, swam underneath the stern of the ship. We didn't know where to look. There were so many. And I'll tell you, there's a moment where you stop breathing when you can see that giant mouth open up to take all that water and fish in. And their soundings were like beautiful exhalations of meditation. There was no way not to be relaxed listening to whales blow over and over and over again. I was lightheaded, and we were all laughing like children and then trying to be quiet because we didn't want to disturb them. It was a miracle. It was a miracle before our very eyes, and we could hear them thunder and squeak. And I know many of you have whale watched before, but to hear that language that is not our own reminds us that we're not all that. We are not all that. If that doesn't make you humble, then there's nothing on the earth that will make you humble. So here's what I offer to you. Oh, yeah, the other thing. We spent quite a bit of time at the, not too close to one of the glaciers. And let me tell you, they are not static things. They are living, breathing organisms that thunder and boom and drop their ice and show us magnificent colors that we can't imagine exist. And they're receding quickly. So I found a Jewish concept that makes sense to me called Tikkun Olam, the repair of the world. This is from a rabbi who has passed from this life, Menachem Mendel Schneerson. If you see what needs to be repaired and how to repair it, then you have found a piece of the world that God has left for you to complete. But if you only see what is wrong and what is ugly in the world, then it is you yourself that needs repair. Would you like me to put that in the newsletter this week? Why don't I do that? We bear responsibility not only for our own moral, spiritual, and material welfare, but also the welfare of society and the world at large. So, reuse, recycle, compost, pick up trash. Think about every choice that you make for our Earth's future. Because if we can't make that decision, nothing else is going to. So, the other part of this about choices for the future have to do with our energetic exchange with the rest of the world. So we're connected to all humanity, just like we're connected to all those creatures that are out there and all the beautiful plant life and all the things that are seen and unseen in our oceans and in our sky. I heard a concept this week, by the way, that is derived from several schools of thought, and I love this idea. An individual presented it to me, that the earth is not our mother. It is that which is around us that is the womb, and the earth is that which is inside the womb that needs to be nurtured and cared for and fed. That just turned my brain about a quarter turn when I heard that. So just take that idea on. So we're all connected to each other. We pretend like we're not. We pretend like there is us and there is other. But it's really all one. And each of us is vital to the wholeness of the whole. For all of us. So we make a choice for relationships. The relationships we have in our lives right now. We make the choice to see each other as a part of ourselves. And so we can practice kindness and mutual regard. And how about some ruthless compassion? I like that idea. Ruthless compassion would mean that we're compassionate no matter what, no matter if they make us mad, no matter whether or not we think they deserve it. Everyone deserves compassion. You could call it radical compassion if ruthless is a little too harsh for you. But if you think ruthless, you'll probably get to radical. It also requires us to make choices for ourselves, for our own growth, so that we might continue to contribute to the one, to contribute to the all. We have to make that choice every single day. Do you see, friends, we're here, and I know you were in great hands last week with Marge. And she gave you things to consider that I honor your wisdom, Margie. Thank you. We have things to work on in ourselves, and we have a spiritual laboratory here to do it in. You know, in a laboratory, sometimes experiments go wrong, but it's to help us learn what doesn't work so that we can figure out what does. And if we don't practice compassion, we're always going to see the mistakes as mistakes and nothing else. So we must be compassionate with ourselves. And usually the hardest people on ourselves is us. So do the work that needs to be done. And you know what we're working on in this community? You know what we're doing right here in this spiritual laboratory? We are beginning the end of communication that is less than direct with each other. I will say to you right now that my heart and my door are open to you. If you have any problem with something that's going on in the church, come tell me. I said it, didn't I? Bam, bam. But I would rather hear it from you than hear it from somebody said that somebody said this. Oh my goodness. That's not helping all of us to be whole. It's just helping us. We're just being big babies when we do that. Stand up and say something. And if the thing that you want to say, you don't feel like, you don't want to bother me, you don't want to hurt my feelings, you don't want to hurt kids' feelings, you don't want, for heaven's sakes, it's our responsibility to take care of our feelings. It's our responsibility that if we know that this is your big deal that's going on, is to help you work through your big deal. That's what we do. That's what we're trained for. That's our job. Okay? Okay, no more triangulating or he said that she said. No, we're not doing that anymore. We're going to be kind. We're going to be radically honest. That doesn't mean mean. That means that we look in our heart and see what is this coming from? What is my motive? Is this something heavy upon my heart that needs to be spoken, or is this something I just need to get over? We have to ask ourselves that question every day, don't we? Any of you that have a significant other you have to do that with? Do any of you have a significant other you have to do that with? Any of you have family members you have to do that with? Yeah, that one always gets a good response because some of you are sitting with your significant others. Just going, we're good. We're so good. I have no problem with that one. No. It's part of our wholeness, my friends. So we can choose growth over complacency. We can choose courage over fear. We can choose compassion and kindness over small-mindedness. You know what small-mindedness feels like? It makes your head hurt. We can have some expansiveness about God rather than putting God in a box. God can surprise you every single day if you will let God do that. And I'm not talking about some God. I'm talking about this God and this God. The God that is whales amazed me. The God that was that tiny ancient sea creature amazed me. I also saw bears. Not up close. Let me just tell you what I have right up here. You may not know about this, but there's a program at Unity called Spiritual Explorers, in which you can go online and take classes for your own spiritual enrichment. Some of you have never gone to Unity Worldwide and looked at what's available for you to take. Just think of it as continuing education at your own pace. So if you'd like to know more about that, I've got these little cards because I'm an advocate for spiritual explorers. So that anybody, any of you, can take courses on your own, at your own pace, and grow your spiritual life. So if I can be of service to you, get one of these cards and talk to me about it. We're also starting a new class this week called Dare to Lead. Next week, we're starting a new class. Thank you. I'll tell you what, I was only 3 hours different in Alaska on time, but I'm still not. This is Sunday because I'm standing here, so I. Next week, we're starting a class called Dare to Lead. And some of you feel like you don't get everything you want out of Sunday mornings, then you need to make a point of being here on Wednesday nights. And if you haven't stepped up on Wednesday nights because, gosh, you're too tired, or gosh, I'm too busy, or gosh, whatever reason, fill in the blank, try a Wednesday night class. That's right. Because that's where the real stuff happens. And this class in particular, we're going to take it up another level. We're going to have a lot of interaction with each other, some one-on-one, some groups of three. And we're going to be talking with each other about, and Dare to Lead isn't about leadership in the church necessarily. It can be, but it's about being a leader of your own life. Okay? So consider that. I've already got a few people that are already into the book, which we will have available in the bookstore, and you can also order on Amazon. So that, I'm giving you some opportunities. Help the environment. Be kind and see all other people as a part of yourself. See, every blade of grass, every bird is a part of you. Yes. And make a choice for your own personal growth. So we're taking it from the macro to the micro, and it's all one. Yes? I'd like to lead us into meditation with this prayer. I told you it'd be a fire hose today, didn't I? I found this reading, and then I discovered that it was, when I got to the end, by a singer and composer from Turtle Island Records in Alaska. So close your eyes and let this prayer be yours. In the name of every muscle in our bodies, we beseech you. In the name of the feather, the sun, the mountain, the river, the otter, the salmon, the pine, and the stone. In the name of babies, now and forevermore, and of lovers, and of sex. In the name of the breathing, pushing, spreading, decaying, pulsing earth beneath our gills, our roots, our talons, our hooves, and our bare-skinned feet. Help us. Help us, easily distracted, heartbreakingly self-centered, brilliant and beautiful, big-brained creatures. Us business as usual, new on the planet, slow-moving, deep-loving creatures. Help us to remember that this wondrously intelligent orb has generated living art beyond anything we will ever hope to approximate 24 hours a day for 6 billion years. Help us to remember that we can seize the power, that we can raise our voices, that we can flood the courtrooms, the schoolrooms, the boardrooms, the email, the voicemail, letters to the editor, the streets, the books, the churches, and the temples. That we can rise up in power on behalf of all those who live in tree, cave, hive, village, river, ocean, and suburb. That we can rise up on behalf of all we love and all that keeps us alive. We beseech you, visible and invisible, wild and tame, past, present, and future, have mercy on us human beings. Help us give birth to the human race. And so as Jan prayed with you a couple of Sundays ago to rise up, I invite you to rise up in the name of oneness for all living things. I invite you to search your heart and to see what is next for you to do. I invite you to expand your heart and its loving energy to encompass more and more and more of the welfare of the earth and the people upon it. I ask you to give of yourselves wholeheartedly to the whole. Every interaction makes a difference. You decide if it is for good. And when you forget, and when you fall, that you lift yourself up like the rising sun for yet another day of new life. For all that might be unforgiven in you, let it be forgiven now, so that you might be free. We all depend upon it. And so hand on heart to remember. Hands together to seal your prayer. breath of God to enliven your soul. And so it is. Amen.